This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
U.S. agriculture lost billions on trade wars. Now President Trump is threatening yet another one. The president declared in a State of the Union address that his tariff strategy worked to get trade deals with China, Canada, and Mexico. And despite billions in losses to U.S. ag and manufacturing, Trump is now on the European Union. The fresh duties on European steel and aluminum goods while also threatening autos. American Farm Bureau's Dave Salmonson expects new U.S. pressure on Brussels as the U.K. pushes to formalize Brexit rules.
And how far they can go with the EU depends on how much pressure the U.S. puts on the EU on those issues.
But former USDA trade chief and the Clinton administration, Paul Drazik, says Trump's use of national security rules to go after steel goods like autos invites trouble.
Once you start using national security for import protection, then what's to stop countries from saying, well, food security is national security for them?
But the president claims the EU threats U.S. businesses even worse than China does. U.S. farmers face high tariffs, biotech, phytosanitary, and geographic naming barriers. Drazik says EU in earlier talks focused on everything but agriculture.
The EU came with a proposal that they wanted, not giving very much except to talk and to talk about things that they were willing to talk about all along, which was zero tariffs in industrial products and all the other stuff.
Mexico and Vietnam account for almost all of the U.S.'s $852 billion trade deficit. And while Trump is tariff king among U.S. presidents, he's now notched big new trade deals, and still has a strong economy that begs to keep things on an even keel until at least after the next election. 21 farm and ranch groups that represent millions of U.S. farmers and ranchers are launching Farmers for a Sustainable Future. It's a new coalition committed to environmental and economic sustainability. The coalition will serve as a primary resource for lawmakers and policymakers as they consider climate policy. One important task for the new coalition is to share with elected officials, media, and the public U.S. agriculture's commitment to sustainability and the incredible strides they've already made to reduce agriculture's environmental footprint. As policy proposals are developed and considered, the goal is for the coalition and its guiding principles to serve as a foundation to ensure the adoption of meaningful and constructive policies and programs affecting agriculture. Those guiding principles include calling for policies that support science-based research, voluntary incentive-based conservation programs, investment in infrastructure, and solutions that ensure vibrant rural communities and a healthy planet. The coalition says farmers and ranchers are committed stewards of the land, leading the way to climate-smart farming by promoting soil health, conserving water, enhancing wildlife, using nutrients efficiently, and caring for their livestock. In other ag news, the University of Illinois' Farm Policy News website says reports are surfacing that China is looking at purchasing some U.S. farm products by early March. The gesture would be intended to show the U.S. that it will meet its commitments outlined in the Phase 1 trade deal. The Chinese government is in discussions over what commodities it will potentially buy at the end of February or in early March. The purchases would show the U.S. that China intends to stick to the trade deal despite the impact of the coronavirus. Additional reports from Reuters show that China intends to grant exemptions on retaliatory duties imposed on almost 700 U.S. products, which would be the most sustainable tariff relief to be offered so far. That would be the third round of tariff relief offered by China and comes after the Phase 1 trade deal officially went into effect on February 14th. China has already been issuing tariff waivers on more than an ad hoc basis for U.S. farm products, including soybeans. The exemption announcement that came this week includes energy products like crude oil. The USDA is reminding producers interested in the Conservation Reserve Program that the sign-up deadline is on February 28th. That's coming up a week from tomorrow. The sign-up is available to farmers and private landowners who are either enrolling for the first time or re-enrolling for another 10 to 15-year term. Farmers and ranchers who re-enroll in the program get early rental payments for voluntarily establishing long-term, resource-conserving plant species such as approved grasses or trees, which can control soil erosion, improve water quality, and develop wildlife habitats on marginally productive ag land. The CRP program has 22 million acres currently enrolled, but the previous farm bill in 2018 lifted that cap to 27 million acres. The program is also marking its 35th anniversary this year with many milestones. It's prevented more than 9 billion tons of soil from eroding, which is enough to fill 600 million dump trucks. The program has also sequestered an average of 49 million tons of greenhouse gas, equal to taking 9 million cars off of the road. Moving on into other ag news, there is constant talk on Capitol Hill about improving U.S. infrastructure, and U.S. agriculture stands to benefit from infrastructure investments. Chad Smith has more from Capitol Hill.
The infrastructure in America is in desperate need of upgrades and improvements. The American Farm Bureau is hopeful that Congress will get to work on legislation that would authorize spending on those needed improvements. AFBF economist Megan Nelson highlighted infrastructure priorities for farmers and their rural communities.
Infrastructure as a whole is extremely important for agriculture, and connecting rural areas to the global economy is of utmost importance. So in those terms, I would say broadband, ensuring that rural roads and bridges are able to handle agricultural equipment, and make sure that we're still maintaining our competitive advantage when exporting agricultural products.
She says infrastructure improvements and upgrades would give U.S. farmers a competitive advantage against countries like Brazil in the world marketplace.
Being able to ensure that our rural roads and bridges are able to carry certain loads and not break down and not have to cause extra time and costs, it'll be really important. Additionally to broadband, there's an estimated $65 billion that rural areas could see annually if broadband was available at the demand levels.
Nelson says there would be tremendous economic benefits to having new broadband infrastructure in place.
We really do think that we could see tremendous benefits with nearly $13.1 billion in annual benefits to row crops and $13.3 billion to specialty crops, and nearly $21 billion is estimated to be benefiting livestock, and that's just with broadband alone. With roads and other connectivity, really, it's pretty limitless.
Chad Smith, Washington.
Also on the topic of infrastructure, flooding might slow that down this year. States that border the Missouri River are forecast to experience an elevated flood risk this spring, along with the Mississippi River as well. The National Weather Service says those conditions will only be made worse by already saturated soil over the past year and a lot more snow to melt again. The National Weather Service has issued its first spring flood outlook last week, saying that Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and eastern North and South Dakota all face an above-average flooding risk. It's not good news, as many of those areas are still trying to recover from devastating flooding last year that damaged levees and cost farmers millions in crop loss. The Army Corps of Engineers says they are very concerned at this point, and an Associated Press report says even in places where the Corps was able to patch holes in some levees, the normal level of protection will not be there because initial repairs have not been done yet due to up to the full height of the levee. Officials say levee repairs will likely take up to 2 years to complete, and officials say levee repairs will, because the water remains so high in some areas, that officials could not even access the full scope of the damage until just recently. Many levees in Iowa and Nebraska have been patched, but work has yet to begin, in Kansas and Missouri on the lower reaches of the Missouri River. And it's been 2 years since the discovery of a grain glitch. The tax cuts and the Jobs Act. It's been 2 years since the discovery of a grain glitch in the Tax Cut and Job Act of 2017. A DTN report says farmer cooperatives are still asking the Treasury Department officials to change provisions of Section 199A back to the way they used to be before the 2017 tax law was passed. The tax quirk that looked like a windfall for farmers who did business with those local cooperatives, and accountants and grain industry leaders discovered in 2018 that the new tax law inadvertently gave farmers a potentially large tax break of selling their crops to farm cooperatives instead of a private elevator. Major private grain companies were faced with the possible large purchasing disadvantage. The grain glitch generated enough attention that Congress passed legislation to rework the tax deduction in a federal spending bill within the next few months. Last summer, the Treasury Department began proposing that Section 199 deductions only apply to patronage income. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board here with 6:41 on the clock here on your Thursday morning. It's time to start heading up on the upcoming garden season by starting seedlings indoors. And the U of I Extension will be hosting a Starting Seeds Indoors workshop to be held at the Montgomery County Extension office next week. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he'll provide a variety of techniques for starting those seedlings indoors. This program will take place next Wednesday, the 26th, from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon. Cost of the program will be $5 and will include handouts. Pre-registration is due by next Tuesday, the 25th, and you can do so online at extension.illinois.edu/cjmm, or you can call them the old-fashioned way on the phone at 532-3941, and that's to the Extension office in Hillsboro. And that'll wrap up this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email that to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Thursday morning, February 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.